in your Bible, please. We're going through the book of Isaiah. I read just a few verses in the book of Isaiah, but then I'm going to have you to turn over to the book of Romans in just a few moments and look at a passage of scripture there as well. But you have your Bible open to the book of Isaiah. And I want to call your attention as we look this morning in chapter 56 and look, if you will, please, at verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth it holdeth on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing evil. I'll call your attention to verse 1 again. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come. Now, if you will, flip over in the New Testament to the book of Romans. Romans, if you will, please. And chapter number 13. Let me read you a passage of scripture there. Romans chapter 13. I call your attention to verse number 11. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is your salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Notice in both of those instances, our Lord says in Isaiah 56 and verse 1, my salvation is near to come. And the Apostle Paul echoes that when he says, now is your salvation nearer than when you believed. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I ask now the Holy Spirit of God to empower me this morning. Our Father, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to your mercy, you saved us. Thank you for a tremendous Sunday school hour. God, beginning with the assembly this morning, touching Brother Ricky, and God, for the Bible study. Thank you for great singing this morning. Our Father, for the specials, we thank you for the choir and the congregation of singing. Our Father, I pray, Father, right now, and plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over this place. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would help us to realize, our Father, that now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and we'll praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you know anything at all about Bible prophecy, we are now approaching the end of what we call the age of grace. I do believe that with all of my heart. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says this, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, nobody can set the day and hour when our Lord Jesus Christ will return. But according to that passage of Scripture, there are going to be some living when He comes that see the day approaching. And I am convinced this morning by your testimonies and by others who've talked to me that there is some type of a keen awareness that we're nearer now than we've ever been and that Jesus Christ is coming again. Christ is coming again. I heard this phrase several years ago now, but it's a simple little statement called rapture ready. I want to be rapture ready. And that refers to 1 Thessalonians where it says the Lord himself should ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. That's what's going to happen. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back for his church. If you believe that, say amen. 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 He's coming back for his church. Now, and that's what he's challenging them. Now, the immediate interpretation of this passage of scripture has to do with Israel. They've been in bondage, but the Lord has promised their deliverance. And he said, not very long down the road, I'm going to take you out of this land of captivity and I'm going to bring you back into the homeland. And my dear friend, that same truth is echoed to me and you when Paul said, our salvation is nearer. That means that very soon now, the Lord's going to come and take us out of this world and we'll be together. Together with him and those, our loved ones, for all eternity. Now, you ought to say amen right there, praise God. I'm thanking God for it. Now, let me say, he said, your salvation is nearer than when you believe. The term salvation refers to being delivered from something, being rescued from something. And certainly, it refers to our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. That is, that it is the time when a person can be born again by the grace of God. I ask people from time to time, are you saved? And there are people who have no concept of what we're talking about. But when you get saved, it means this. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches that you're bound in sin and there's no way you could personally escape. But when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Spirit of God deals with you about your sin and you recognize there's a Savior and you call on the Lord, the Bible says that He forgives us and saves us from all of our sin. He forgives us of the penalty of sin. And thank God for that. That's the promise that you don't have to pay that debt. He's already paid that debt. You accept the free pardon of sin. You have salvation. In the terms of being born again by the grace of God. And heaven is your home. Now, how many of you know that for sure? Say amen. Amen. You know that heaven's your home. You know your sin's been forgiven. You didn't do it. But that's salvation. But also, I believe this. The Bible teaches that not only has He saved us in salvation from the penalty of sin, but I believe that incorporated in that is also a promise to be delivered one day from the presence of sin. How many of you know that you're saved and heaven's your home, but you know that you're not enjoying living down here as much as you used to? Say amen. Brother Ricky said that this morning. And so there's coming a time when you're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. That's the salvation He's talking about. He's talking about in this passage of Scripture a time when you'll be separated eternally from this sinful world. Not just for forgiveness of sin, not just to have eternal life, but you'll be out of the very presence of sin in a place called heaven. That day's coming. He's coming to deliver us from tribulation and from trials and from taxes. Say amen. Thank God for that. But now watch, not only is the salvation regard to salvation from sin, but it is this deliverance from this present world. But I want to show you another type of salvation. Look over in the book of 1 Thessalonians in your Bible. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and listen to what I'm saying. In your salvation is incorporated all these things. It is a salvation from the penalty of sin, that God forgave you of all your sin and heaven is now your home. But also there is going to be the future deliverance from the very presence of sin, and that'll happen at the rapture of the church for those of us who are alive remain until the coming of the Lord. But there's another type of salvation that I think is implied in this particular passage of Scripture. Notice what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. It says this, "And to wait for His Son from heaven," that's what we're waiting for, Jesus, "whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which hath delivered us from the wrath to come." And then when you look over a little bit further in this this same book, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and when you look at chapter 5, go to the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and look at chapter number 5, and I'll call your attention to one verse, and that is in verse number 9. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 9. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." He said this, when you got saved, you were saved from sin, the penalty of sin. You don't have to die and go to hell. That's something to praise God for. The promise that one day He's going to deliver you from the very presence of sin in the rapture, that's a blessing. But I want to thank God today that God has also saved those of us who He saved by His grace from the wrath to come. It's coming on in this world. The Word of God teaches that when the church is raptured out, and that could happen at any moment, right now, it could happen before this service is over with, and we could be gone. Christians could be gone. It's pitching for us in the Word of God when one is taken and one is left behind. That's the rapture, that separation of those who believe and those who don't believe. And then, but not only that, but after we're gone, this world goes into what's called the tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel. The first 3.5 years of that tribulation period, according to the Bible, it'll be a time of peace and prosperity. There come a world leader that'll promise great unifying of religion and economy and prosperity. He'll make a covenant with Israel. There'll be peace for the very first time in Israel, and He will allow the Jews to rebuild their temple. What a wonderful thing. But in the middle of that tribulation period, the Bible said He'll break His covenant with Israel, and the temple that they have built to worship Jehovah God in, to worship the Lord in, He'll walk in and He'll proclaim Himself to be God. And then all hell breaks loose on the earth. It's called the Great Tribulation Period, a horrible, horrible time. If you're saved, you don't have to worry about it because He's already delivered you from the wrath to come. He didn't appoint you to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, how many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. He's coming again. You believe the Bible. You've trusted Christ. Now, I ask you a question. Are you rapture ready? Are you rapture ready? Oh, you say, well, Brother Billy, I'm saved. I'm going to leave out of here. I know you're going to leave out of here, but are you really ready? Are you really ready to face the God who loved you? Are you really ready to face the Savior who shed His blood and died for you? Are you really ready? Are you really, really ready for the rapture? Are you rapture ready to meet the Lord? You see, the Bible said in the book of 1 John that there'll be some who will be ashamed at His coming. That is, those who are saved, they're going to be ashamed at His coming. I want you to look with me at a couple of other passages of Scripture here. Will you look with me, please, over in the book of 2 Peter? Turn to the book of 2 Peter. And I want to share with you quite a few verses here just to read them to you. Notice what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. He said this, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. Now, Peter felt like it was important for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ to have their mind stirred, their remembrance stirred. And you and I need to be challenged every now and then. Why? Because we have a tendency to go to sleep. We have a tendency to drift off. We have a tendency to get cold. You don't have a tendency to get hot. You have a tendency to get cold. And he said this, I want to stir up your mind. Verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the command of us, the apostles of the Lord, and Savior. Know this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens which were of old and the earth standing out of the waters in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises to, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with, and the earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. See then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Here's the promise. He said this. He said, if you really believe that Jesus is coming again, if you really believe that the church is going to be raptured, if you really believe this world is going to be cast into tribulation period, what manner of person ought we to be? What kind of person should we be, and how should we live in that? Well, let's pick up the reading again and finish this chapter out while we're right here. Notice what it says, if you will, please, in verse number 13. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, see that ye look for such things. Be diligent that ye may be found in Him, of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And according that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as I beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He said, Paul said the same thing. Paul said, the Lord's coming back. He said, you ought to live right. You ought to live honest before the Lord. And he goes to verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Peter acknowledged that some of the things about Bible prophecy, it's difficult for us to understand. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also of the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forevermore. I want to share one other passage of scriptures with you, and then I'm going to just share quickly with you a few things I want you to get in your heart this morning. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. Paul said Jesus is coming again, and he said you better get rapture ready. That's more than just being saved. He said, Peter said, the Lord Jesus is coming again, and you ought to get rapture ready, because it's more than just being saved. In 1 John chapter 3, and look at verse number 2. He said this, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. Now you say, Brother Bill, I'm ready to go. I'm saved. According to these passages of scripture I just read to you, that may not be enough. Oh, it's enough to get you to heaven, but it may not make it a happy time for you. What's it take to be rapture ready? I give you just two or three things, and there are several I could share. But I want to be rapture ready, don't you? I want to be ready to meet the Lord. Number one, I want to have a clear conscience. I want to have a clear conscience. Look in the book of Romans chapter number 2. In Romans chapter 2, you're saved by the grace of God. Heaven's your home. And my dear friend, you're going to go be with the Lord. He forgave you of all your sin. He's delivered you from the penalty of sin. He's promised to deliver you from the presence of sin and from the wrath to come. But every one of us has to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Are you rapture ready? Look in Romans chapter number 2. I call your attention, please, to verse number 14. For when the Gentiles, which had not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now here's what he said. Somebody said one time, let your conscience be your guide. That's a bad way to go. He's talking here about Christians. He's talking about people who are saved. And he's talking about Gentiles who have the law written in their heart, have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them, and He's our guide. He guides us into all truth. And the reason we don't do certain things is not because we've got written up on big, bold letters in our house and we memorize those. It's because the Spirit of the living God's inside of us and He's directing us. And if you're saved, He's there. Amen. But now what happens when you don't obey Him? You have at that point in time, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. And He deals with you, according to this passage of Scripture, and your conscience can either acquit you or accuse you. Now, if you're lost, don't pay any attention to your conscience, because the Bible says that you're dead in trespass and sin. But if you've been saved, just as sure as I'm standing here, when you disobey the Lord, you know it. You don't have to wait 10 days. You don't have to wait 30 days. You don't have to wait 60 days. When you disobey God, you grieve the Holy Spirit immediately right then. Amen. And He speaks to you through your conscience. And my dear friend, if you're going to be rapture ready, you need to have a clear conscience. That is not a thing in your heart and life that ought not to be there. Not any type of disobedience, not any kind of fault that ought not to be there, not anything in your life that ought not to be there. And if you're saved, He convicts you of those things. Immediately He begins to deal with you. Immediately when you disobey God, immediately when the Spirit of the living God speaks, you disobey, He begins to be grieved. He begins to speak to you. Now somebody said they got this concept of when the Holy Spirit of God is grieving you that He soils up in a corner. That's not so. Now when you were a boy or girl growing up and mom and daddy told you not to do something and you did it, how many of you came home and found them backed up in a corner somewhere sucking their thumb and pouting because you were a bad boy? A bad girl. Not many of you. How many of you, when you disobeyed mom and daddy, son, you saw their countenance change and you saw fire come out of their eyes. You saw their hair stand up on end and you saw a belt just about big as a boat paddle and they begin to frail the daylights out of you. I can testify.
Amen.
I've been there. When it says grieve, that doesn't mean the Holy Ghost of God swells up. It means that you broke his heart and he has to chasten you. He wants to hold you. He wants to guide you in all truth. He wants to anoint you. He wants to bless you. He wants to have joy and peace and all the. And now, instead of being able to do those things, he's got to deal with this thing in your life, this rebellion. And the Bible said he chastens every son. And he'll do that if you're a son. He'll deal with you. He'll speak to you through the sweet Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God. And you'll when you get ready to pray, you got something in your life, what not to be there, but it'll come up right here. When you're in the church service and the preacher's preaching, he may not have a thing to say about what's in your heart and life, but just immediately, boy, your conscience will begin to get convicted of it. And you need to have a clear conscience. Not a thing between my soul and the Savior. Everything clear. All the channels are open. Not anything in my heart that ought not to be there. You need to have a clear conscience. If you're going to be ready to meet the Lord, you better have a clear conscience. Have a clear conscience. What an awful thing to be caught, to be caught like that. I can't remember if I told this story. I used it in a message. But when I was down in Florida visiting with Brother Mike Parker in revival one time, he showed me over in a place called Steinhatchee. And I know I shared this story, and I can't remember if I did. If I did, you just listen. But he showed me several landmarks. A week after the meeting, he called me at home, and he said, Brother Billy, you remember when we were down there? And we went down to Steinhatchee, and I showed you the First Baptist Church, and I showed you the bank. Told you I had a lady in my church whose daddy was president of the bank. And I said, yeah. Said, you know, we had an awful tragedy. Said she went down the other night to visit her daddy down at Steinhatchee. And when she was going home with a little girl, they came out on a long stretch of that Florida Panhandle Road, and they came around a little curve, and her lights fell on something in the road. She thought it was a deer. And she approached. She realized it wasn't a deer. It was a young man. And he was crawling across the pavement. And his body, she could tell, like his legs were useless to him. And he was pulling himself on that pavement with his fingernail and blood all over his body. She pulled off on the shoulder road and went to assist him. About that time, another car came around the other way. And it was just driving erratically. And it ran over that guy in the middle of the road. He rolled up under the car. The guy got out of the car and went to cussing and kicked the side of the car and drove off. The highway patrolman called him. That guy was drunk. But that boy in the middle of the road, he said, that boy in the middle of the road, he died. And he died saying, don't let my daddy catch me like this. And he said, Brother Billy, that teenage boy was the son of the pastor of the First Baptist Church. He went out with a bunch of boys, just hadn't had his driving license long, went out and they all kept picking at him and telling him he was just a goody two shoes and he was a holy roller and he wasn't one of the guys because he wouldn't drink. They kept after him that night until he got to drinking, and he got drunk. First time he ever drank in his life, got drunk. And on the way home, he rolled his pickup truck, and he died in the middle of that road saying, don't let my daddy catch me like this. Don't let my daddy catch me like this. And the sad thing, a lot of folk are saved, but God's going to catch you with what you got in your life. He's going to catch you with what's going on in your heart and in life. And you know, if you're saved, now some of you, it don't bother a bit in the world because you're not saved. But if you're saved, your conscience condemns you over certain things. And it's the sweet Holy Spirit of God speaking to you through that conscience. And if you're going to be rapture ready, you've got to have a clear conscience. You've got to be able to approach any man or any woman anywhere in the world and have a clear conscience. You don't have to slip around and hide around and everything. And you don't have to worry about people coming and finding anything in your heart and life that ought not to be there. You've got to have a clear conscience. Second thing quickly. Ezekiel chapter 33, he said, when I say unto the wicked, you're to go. He said, I say, you go tell the wicked that they're going to die. He's commissioning us to go give the gospel, to go tell them about being saved. He said, if you speak to warn the wicked and they turn not from their wicked ways, he said, you've delivered your soul. But he said, if I command you to go tell the wicked to turn from their wicked ways and you don't go, he said, that wicked man will die in his sin. He'd be in hell for all eternity. But his blood will I require at your hands. What a sad thing. That you could die. That Jesus could come. and you'd have unclean hands. You better have a clear conscience, but I pray you have clean hands. Don't have the blood of men and women on your hands. You say, Brother Billy, how could that happen? It could happen when the Spirit of God prompts you to witness to somebody. A classmate, a work associate, a friend, a neighbor. God, the Holy Ghost, been dealing with you about witnessing to them. And your life been so inconsistent, that you've not lived a life in front of them. And when they die and go to hell, they'll be able to point at you and say, well, that person said they were a Christian, but they didn't live like it, and they never told me about Christ. They never shared the gospel with me. You know what? You have bloody hands. Oh, they'll die and go to hell because they didn't get saved. But he said, I'll require their blood at your hands. What an awful thing to think that you'll have children or grandchildren or family members or folk in the community that you should have told about Christ and you didn't. They'll die lost. Lost. But he said, I'll require the blood at your hand. You have bloody hands. Be bloody. If you don't obey, if God the Holy Ghost prompts you in regard to prayer and you don't pray, certain people lost, certain needs, and God's challenge you to pray, and you didn't pray, I believe you could have bloody hands. If God the Holy Spirit deals with you about giving missions and sharing in missions, and you don't do that, I believe there are folks that you never see their face, but you'll have bloody hands because you hindered the gospel from getting to where they were. Well, the flip side of that is there'll be a lot of folk in heaven you've never seen that you prayed for and that you gave money to help missions and you did those things, and witnesses that you lived that you never knew they were even watching you. But they'll get saved. Listen, don't die you need to die with a clear conscience. Jesus comes back, you better have a clear conscience. You better have clean hands. Clean hands. Not only that, I pray that you'll have a consuming love. When Jesus comes back, you need to have a consuming love. He said in the book of Revelation, when he speaks of that particular church, he said, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. He said, you'll love the Lord with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. Now, that's not changed. Some of you, when you first got saved, you loved Him with all your heart, mind, and soul. You couldn't get enough of the house of God. You couldn't get up and be around God's people. You loved the Lord with all your heart, but your love's cooled off. Your love's cooled off. And you don't love Him like you used to. And when He comes back, the rapture of the church, and you realize, boy, this is all real. Here He is. Here I am standing in front of Him. And I have been so neglectful of Him. Hadn't spent time with Him, hadn't loved Him, hadn't fellowship with Him, hadn't expressed my love to Him, hadn't told Him how much I love Him, have not demonstrated that love by my life. You need to have a consuming love when He comes, to love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said, I have finished my course. You need to have a completed course when He comes, a completed course. Now you say, well, Brother Bill, a lot of things I want to do down the road for the Lord. If He comes back, that doesn't make any difference. But you better be caught up to that day. That day. Jim Elliot said, when it comes time to die, and you have to die, make sure that's all you've got to do that day. Die. You've done everything to that day that God wants you to do. You've done everything. You've been faithful to God to that day. When you die or when Jesus comes, you better have a completed course. Don't leave out something you should have done last week or last year. Have it finished. Have it finished. I finished with this morning. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 8, the Lord Jesus says, when I come, shall I find faith in the earth? And He says in the book of Revelation, He commends that church and he says, you have kept the faith. You need to have, when Jesus comes, a confident faith. He doesn't need to find you with your hands ringing and worried. Brother Ricky, this morning, I'm telling you right now, he stirred me up. I felt like I did shout a little bit, Ricky. I did, praise God. Amen. And Lord bless my heart this morning. And he got talking about the Lord coming back. And he said, I don't care what nobody else does. Don't care what the president does, anything else. He said, our hope's not in Washington. It's in Jesus. And I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, He'll find you with a confident faith. Don't let Him catch you running around somewhere sucking your thumb and feeling like gloom, despair, and agony on me. I know one thing. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to keep His word. He's going to keep His promise. And I believe God can do all things. I believe I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He said, if I abide in in him, your word abides in me. I can ask whatsoever will and he'll do it. I believe with all of my heart that I want to die with a confident faith that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I'm able to ask a thing. I don't want to ever get to the place that I don't believe God can. Yes, God can. There's so many people got gloom, despair. They said God can't bless. God ain't blessing. We're in the last days. But thank God we're in the last days, but we've still got the first God. Amen. He's still Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you're able to ask a thing. My dear friend, when you meet him in the rapture, you better meet him saying, God can. God can. I believe it with all my heart. I knew he was going to do it after all. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it would be just like he said it was. And I thank God for it. I'm going to be faithful to him. I'm going to love him and serve him. I want to ask you a question. Are you rapture ready? How about your conscience? Does your conscience condemn you? Do you think, oh, I should have been more faithful? I should have been more faithful to the house of God. I should have been more faithful in my tithe. I should have been more faithful in those things and areas of life. And you let things get in your life that ought not to be there. Things you've looked at, things you've done, place you've gone, a guilty conscience. Get it clean this morning. How do you get it clean? First John, he said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful just to forgive and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You better have a clear conscience. I pray you have clean hands. Pray you have clean hands. I hear people from time to time talking about different individuals in our community who've been very ill at the point of death. And I hear some of them say to me, Brother Billy, I should have went. I should have went. I should have went. And I understand that. I'm just telling you, I'm preaching from a lot of experience this morning. A lot of things. But I pray we'll have clean hands. Not somebody you should have witnessed to. Not something you should have done. You didn't do it. I pray this morning that when Jesus comes, you'll have a consuming love. I wonder how much you love him this morning. If he were to come in here and he said, I got somewhat against you, you've left your first love. If he looks around at us and he said, you to love me with all your heart, mind, and soul, do you love him as much now as you ever have? Or is your heart thrilled to read the Word of God, to be at the house of God, to be around the people of God? Do you have that consuming love for him? How about your responsibilities? Do you have a completed course? Have you done this week? Have you done this day what God wanted you to do? Have you been faithful? And then how's your faith? We were up at 42 yesterday. Went in, everything's a dollar store. I love that store. Praise God. I love it. And I can't figure it out. Honestly, I cannot figure it out how they can sell some things for a dollar. I know it's got something to do with volume. I know it's got something to do with this, that, and the other. But still, when you look at it, and here's this piece of, just beautiful little piece of porcelain figure. Somebody painted that, or somebody did that, and somebody had to, you know, mine the materials and make it and form it, and then somebody had to paint it, then they had to put it in a box and put it on a big old ship and bring it from China over here. How could they do that for a dollar? You can't go, you cannot go, you can't even get a tea for a dollar at Bojangles no more. It's gone to $1.29. A dollar. But while we were walking around, I looked at the books. And not, you don't want to find very many books in those places that they're, you know, any good. But I noticed they had some little books up there on the fruit of the Spirit, which God really spoke to my heart. But I picked one up and I read it, just a little bit of it. And boy, it gave a story. It'd be worth a dollar just for the story. And it said that many years ago, there were three merchantmen traveling, and they were riding their camels at night across this desert area because it was intense heat in the daytime and they couldn't travel. And they came down and began to cross a dry riverbed. And as they began to cross that riverbed, just a booming voice came and commanded them to stop. And they were just terrified, couldn't see anybody, just heard the voice. And he said, get down off your camels. They got off the camels. And he said, I want you to do something. And he said, tomorrow you'll be both happy and sad. And he said, reach down into this riverbed and pick up some pebbles. And they reached down and got a few stones and put it in a bag. And he said, now leave here. Don't turn around. Don't look back. Don't stop. You travel till daylight. Don't look in your bag until after daylight. You'll be happy and sad. They couldn't hardly wait. They traveled all night. As it began to get light, they stopped. They hurriedly opened their bags. And instead of pebbles in their bag, they found precious stones. They were elated and happy because they had those great treasures. But then they were sad because when they had opportunity, they'd not gathered more, both happy and sad. I'm convinced that the rapture is going to be a time of both gladness and sadness. Glad that you're there, but sad that while you had opportunity, you didn't gather more treasure for the Master.